Hello, everyone, and welcome to You Are Beautiful. And if you didn't hear it today already, let me say it to you right now. You are, wait for it, beautiful. That's right. My name is Lawrence Zarian, but since we are going to be instant fast friends, you can call me LZ. On this podcast, some of my closest friends from television, film, movies, influencers, designers, they're going to be here with me, with us, talking about how they feel, what makes them feel beautiful, and when they look in the mirror, what do they see? It's going to be a fun ride. Trust us, trust me, and let's have some fun. Hey, and by the way, let me say it again. You are beautiful. One of the things that I love the most about doing You Are Beautiful with Lawrence Zarian is knowing that I'm going to have a guest that I go to bed thinking about and smiling and then waking up to and smiling. And Jane Lynch, you are that person.
God bless you. That was nice. I hope I don't haunt your dreams.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. That was Jane Lynch and Hi. You Are Beautiful with Lawrence Zarian. So Jane, so here's the question. Do you remember the first time we met?
It was probably on Home and Family. I don't exactly remember the first time. No. Do you want to tell me?
I'm going to tell you this. There are people that you meet and you're like, hi, nice to meet you. And then they go on into their lives and you go into yours. And when I met you, you left such an indelible imprint on my mind and my heart. I'll tell you why.
Yes.
I was covering the junket for Julie and Julia.
Oh.
And I was on the red carpet. I had interviewed Meryl Streep a couple of days before. And I'm this little kid from Glendale, California. So the fact that I am on this epic red carpet and major stars are coming down, I interviewed Meryl Streep. I interviewed Nora Ephron. And then I was nervous. I was a little scared. And then you show up so kind, so polite, so lovely. And on my mother's memory, I'll tell you, I did not Google this, but you were wearing a beautiful dress by Maggie London.
I was, yeah. And it was short, something I could never get away with now. But yes. Yeah, it was a beautiful dress.
You have this ability, because we've known each other now for years, to make everyone seem as if they've been seen and heard. Where does that come from?
Probably because I love to be seen and heard. I've always had a lot of empathy, and it almost was so much so that it was almost crippling when I was a child. You know, I'd see a homeless person on the street. I'd think about it for weeks. And I noticed other people were able to bounce back. Not that they're better people, but they're able to incorporate it more. So I think that's important to me, that people feel seen and heard. Because, you know, especially in the world we live in now, it's the only world I know, a kind word goes a long way. It really does. And it sometimes can turn, I'm not the power of it maybe doesn't turn somebody's life around, but it can certainly turn their head and heart around in a way that they'll orient themselves in a more, you know, content and happy way and willing to give it to somebody else.
Yeah, but a lot of people in our business, they're always running around. They always have their posse. They have their team. They're always focused on social media and going to the next best thing. Mm-hmm. We spent some really good time together on Home and Family. And whenever you would, it was a great show up at the up at Universal on the Hallmark Channel. Mm-hmm. When you would come to the show, there was a buzz in the air because everybody knew they were going to have this moment. And it was a moment with you. And I always stand back and watch, you know, if you say what you mean and mean what you say. But you gave everybody that opportunity and that moment to spend time with you. That's such a gift.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that because, you know, obviously I do it because it pleases me as well. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I get to see people today.
Right. Especially now.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now. And then there's a part of me too. I'm kind of a recluse. I'm kind of like a monk. I retire to my chambers like around 6 o'clock in the evening and read and, you know, kind of listen to good stuff on my headphones. But I do love interaction. So that really helps with being in this business because you get approached a lot. So it's easy for me.
Are you an introvert?
Yeah, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert with extrovert tendencies.
I am a full-blown extrovert. And these last couple years have been tough. You know, when I go to set, you know, when the dog hears the key in the door and they get so excited, like, oh, we're going to go outside. We get to play my master's home. I feel like that when I go to work. Okay, so Jane, let me ask you this. With the last couple of years that we've had, what makes you feel beautiful? What is beautiful to you today?
Being out in nature. That's one of the great things about the lockdown or whatever it was that we endured over these last couple of years is going outside, which I did a lot during lockdown, and hearing the birds in a way I'd never heard them before. And I think a lot of birds came out and were more vocal maybe because we were
coming
inside.
Up behind the trees. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because we were inside, there was a stillness and a quiet that was gorgeous. And I loved that. And I was living in Los Angeles in the beginning of the lockdown, and now I live in Santa Barbara. And that's one of the reasons we came out here. Nature is so front and center here. It's, you've got the ocean behind you and the mountains in front of you, and we live right in between, and beautiful walks, and it's a quiet kind of small town vibe, and
right.
I just love it. And I love Spanish architecture, and it's all over the place. So yeah, I've come to the stillness that was missing, and I think I've carried it with me into our, you know, getting back into the world now. I think I've carried that with me. In fact, I know I have.
I find it so fascinating when so many people always say, oh, I can't wait to go back to normal. And I'm like, no, we're never going back to normal. You know, we're stepping into new. And I'm not the same person. I went through 2 years like everybody did, and I'm such a different person, and I look at the world so differently, and I look at myself differently. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see?
Oh, what do I see? Well, and I look in the mirror a lot because I'm vain. My mother used to say, vanity, thy name is Jane.
Thanks, Mom. That's 3 years of therapy, but I'm good.
Right, exactly. No, it was true. But I'm kind of agnostic about what I see. I'm not picking it apart. I'm all right with the age. I kind of see my body and my face as kind of an artwork, if you will. It's, you know, in its imperfections and in its beauty. So I'm always kind of checking in with that. And it still pleases me to some extent to look in the mirror. Oh, that's a good looking woman. But I don't pick myself apart the way I used to when I was younger. And I see pictures of myself. That's one of the things about the iPhone. It goes all the way back to what, 2007 or something? And I have all those pictures. I need to get rid of them. I was younger and, you know, arguably, you know, youth is more attractive, arguably. I don't have much problem with what I see in the mirror.
We're also in a world now where everything, and, you know, to me, that is the biggest disservice. Everything is a filter. And there are all these apps that you can look at, and you can totally change your face, and you can change your size, your weight, and be everything that you're not.
Yeah.
Because I think the biggest thing is accepting self for who you are. So for somebody that's doing all of that, what advice would you give them to say, put down the filter and just accept yourself?
Just say that. Put down the phone. We're really into the dark side of this technology right now. And it's killing some children, especially young girls, with these unreasonable levels of beauty that they think they need to attain. And then, you know, because it's a free-for-all, it's a Wild West in the internet, you can say anything you want to them. You can drop any bomb you want and not have to deal with it face-to-face. So you can tell people terrible things. That aspect of the technology, I reject it. I'm on Twitter these days, and I used to be much more political.
Me too.
I'm just basically retweeting the dog stuff, the stuff that makes me happy. And I'm not going to it like a slave the way I used to. It kind of hit me. You know, I was addicted as anybody else. And I had to get rid of it. But I worry mostly for the kids because they're living in a virtual life. And then there are those physicists who say we're all living in a virtual life anyway, that this is all just a computer game, this life, this reality. But that's a deep dive for another podcast. I think that younger folks these days that are coming to age without face-to-face, especially with the lockdown, relationships, I think it takes away from our humanity for each other. And we're seeing that now. There's a big wave of selfishness going through the world, all the way from, you know, people attacking each other online to humble brags.
Right.
Basically, we're kind of one against the other. We don't have any sense of being part of a whole.
Couple things. First of all, I agree with everything you said. I feel that we, as a world, were given permission to share our thoughts. And sometimes just because you think it, that doesn't mean you have to say it. But there was this space of everyone having this freedom to be so verbal, and it landed very heavy. With that, I think the internet can also be used as a tool. Like I'm sober. I'm very public about that. I'm public about my sexuality. I'm public about all of it because I want people to feel as if I can be public and vocal. They can as well. So I think there is this, you know, if you flip the coin on the other side for those kids around the world or those people that don't feel like they have anyone, it does bring the world to them. And I think there is a little bit of a saving grace in that.
There is, but that has also led to a severe form of narcissism.
True.
We don't all have to publicly say what's on our mind. We don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. We've become these creatures who think we have to make proclamations, and then we sit back and we brace ourselves. You know, not everybody's opinion matters to me. It just doesn't. I don't know them. They don't know me. So, you know, I partake of social media. I'm completely off Facebook. I rarely do Instagram. I still have a lingering Twitter addiction.
So wait a second. So I went to our Facebook. So you didn't just unfollow me. You unfollowed a lot of people. So I thought that
was just me.
I was like, oh shit. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
Okay. So I feel as if everybody has this voice to be heard and be seen. And after everything we've gone through in the last couple of years, I think it's a time to regroup, refresh, restart. So I learned so many valuable lessons in the pandemic and who I am. But the thing that I have a friend of mine, he's a divorce lawyer, and he said, look, LZ, I got to tell you, I've never been this busy in my life. He said the pandemic really either made a relationship stronger or it killed them. How did your relationship survive and how did you two come out of it?
Great. Really, really well. We went into it pretty good. We're each other's best friend and it got even better. And we don't have unreasonable expectations of each other. We never have. And that's the benefit of getting together with someone when we were both like 51 or 52. So, you know, we live well together. We also happen to respect each other very much and we're a good team. So I'm very lucky that way. I did not have that before this relationship, and I've known her a long time too, even before we were in a relationship. I didn't have that kind of a relationship because I had the childish expectations, the demands that you don't even know you have.
Have any idea. Right.
Yeah.
I was in a relationship years ago and I was in the kitchen and I was doing the dishes and he is who he is and a lovely man, just not my man. And I remember standing in the kitchen doing the dishes and I thought, oh my God, I'm in a relationship with my mother and my father.
Yeah.
How we attract that to heal that.
Absolutely. Because we're attracted to it. We're attracted to
it. It's familiar to us.
It's familiar. And that feels like family. Yeah.
My twin brother, Gregory, he married John at Christmas time. And the thing that I've been able to sit back and watch a healthy relationship. My parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. But I've said this before. What I love about them is they love each other, but they also like each other. And to me, that is so important to like who someone else is and to respect them, as you just said.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I look at people who get together and they have children and you want to stop them and say, before you have a child, just know whether you divorce this person or not, you're going to be in a close back and forth relationship with this person by necessity for at least 15, 16 years. So know what you're doing.
And if you don't, go to therapy together. God, that's a whole other podcast for another time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as a fashion expert, I always find that people, you know, I believe that you choose a career or God, the universe chooses you for this. And I really feel that I was put in this place for so many amazing reasons. So when people come up to me, it's always like, hi, oh my God, I saw you in that show. What do you think? And it's always like the haircut, the color, the makeup, the dress, the shoes. And there's this expectation for me to offer something kind. Well, that's how I live. I always, from day one, have always seen what I like the most about someone. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is because it's so easy to think about the bad. Mm-hmm. So find the thing that you like the most. Mm-hmm. As a comedian, I'm sure people come up to you as well and they're like, oh my God, you're Jane Lynch. Say something funny.
No, that never happens.
Really?
Never happens.
Do you ever feel that expectation where people want something funny or cheeky or
No.
Something laced with so much? Really?
I don't. Yours is a different world. Yeah, no. And I must say, every time I see you, I always look down at what I'm wearing and hope you like it. But so I think yours is a different deal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't get that at all. And I wouldn't like it if I got that at all.
Speaking of fashion and things, you know, I put on the COVID 20 and I sort of like it. It's sort of created a little more comfort. So my favorite words are Lycra and stretch. Uh-huh. But when I need to get dressed and go out, I always have my go-tos, my John Varvatos jeans or boots, or I call them investment pieces because they're so expensive.
Right.
Is there something that you put on that just makes you your go-to, that makes you feel beautiful, sexy, makes you feel something?
Yes. I was at Bergdorf in New York on 57th Street, that big, beautiful store, and everything's very expensive. And I was with a friend and I tried on a pair of Italian boots that I just love. They were about a 2-inch heel, which is perfect for me, 2.5. And they didn't come to a point, but they weren't squared or rounded off either. Just perfect. So they, like one of the things she said is, these boots will be in style forever. And they were $900. And, you know, I had to think about it. And I'll tell you what, that was 2010 or 2011. I forget. I've had them ever since. I've had them resold probably 20 times.
Yeah.
And every time I put them on, and I can walk all through New York in them, I can wear them all day long. And when I put them on, it takes every outfit and makes it stylish, makes it special. So I love them. I perform in them sometimes too. They're not great. They don't look that great, you know, like from afar on stage. I don't think a boot ever does. I want to see a little bit of your foot, like in a pump or something. I'll wear them because I'm lazy and they're so comfortable and I can move so well. But I love them so much. And I forget the name of the brand, but it's an Italian brand and it's like glove leather. Just wonderful.
Nobody ever gave me anything in my career. My dad had this great work ethic, came to this country when he was 16 and knew the value of a dollar. Mm-hmm. And he had a department store and we, as little kids, I remember Gregory and I would start young and we could only clean the TV screens. And then as we got older, we'd clean the top of the TV screens. And then as we got older, we'd clean the refrigerators. I know what it's like to work for something. So when I spend money on something that's expensive, it means that much more.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. And you know, you've spent some good money in a good way, you didn't throw good at bad, like the boots. I haven't bought a pair of boots in 11 years. I've tried to replace them because I always like to have more than one or two of something that I love just in case I lose them or something. And I have not been able to. And I even found out what the brand was. And I went back to Bergdorf and I didn't like what they have now. So I have to lock up. Make sure I don't lose them.
Okay, Jane, I'm going to throw out a name or I'm going to throw out a title or I'm going to throw out something. And you tell me the first thing that pops into your mind.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago.
Home.
Okay, Chicago's home. Yeah. All right. Harrison Ford.
Mentor when I needed one for 15 minutes, but a mentor.
I know, but you got to work with
him. I did. I was one of my first jobs too. And he really gave me some good advice. He took me aside because we had a scene together and he didn't like the way it was written. And we went into his trailer and reworked it. Yeah. So I got to spend some really quality, creative time with him, even though it was like 15, 20 minutes.
He was my first, they call it junkets when you sit down and you interview celebrities.
He's a tough
one. He was my first junket.
Yeah.
I'll just walk in like this. I said, excuse me, my name's Laurent Zarian. I work on the Daily Buzz. You were my first junket. I'm a Harrison Ford virgin. Will you please be kind and gentle? And he started to laugh.
Yeah. Good.
And he couldn't have been kinder or more gentle.
Because you were authentic. Yeah.
Don't you love, if you just show up and speak your truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Glee.
Glee. Oh my God. I can't give one word.
Give a couple.
I'll give a couple. Career changing. Complete joy. And I guess I just don't want to cheapen the fact that it was culturally, I think it did a wonderful thing for kids and it opened them up to singing, even if they weren't singers themselves. It opened them up to teamwork and having each other's back and seeing how a group of people, kind of like a microcosm for the world, how in the hallways of the high school, this is way too many words, but too bad, in the hallways, the kids could be mean and they'd get a slushy in the face. But once they got in that choir room, it was almost like refuge. And it was sacrosanct. And anybody who walked in there was now a part of the group and was supported, defended, uplifted. And also, they worked as a team. So one person wasn't more important than another. And I think that's such a great, great lesson, a great thing to witness for kids now because we've become so isolated.
High school for me was a very long time ago. And I think for so many kids, it was the most painful for me. I have an identical twin brother. He was very popular. I felt as if I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of scars and a lot of damage from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said to Ryan Murphy years ago, you helped me heal my childhood because of watching Glee.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He built this show of what high school really was. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter if you were a cheerleader or a football player or a singer
exactly.
or whatever. Your story was celebrated and there was this happy ending to find out who you were. I watched the show all the time and cried all the time because I was healing this poor child that felt that he was lost.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. So I think that was the best thing about it. And also now in terms of this narcissism that I was talking about, what I loved about Glee is that the cheerleader wasn't more important than the kid in the wheelchair.
No. And you guys also created a family.
Yeah, it was a family and they all sang together. They each sang different notes, but they all sang together. You know, they read from the same piece of music.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, Happy Accidents.
Oh, that's my, I had to think for a second. What's that? That's the book I wrote about 10 years ago. Well, you know, it was then. I haven't read it since. I'm kind of agnostic about it. Not
really?
Not one way or the other. Yeah. I know that's not going to get me many book sales, but...
Yeah, but if there you go, please join me on Amazon. I will tell you this, you know, I wrote a book called The 10 Commandments for a Perfect Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And the two reviews that I'll never forget, one person said, hey, I bought the book for my wife. And she then said the best thing about this book was the fire it created when she threw it into the fireplace because she just didn't like it. And I thought, oh my God, I sort of love that. Like, mm-hmm. I love the honesty in that. I'm like, okay, obviously this book wasn't for you. And then another woman said to me, I've followed your career for 20 years and I feel like I have you next to me whenever I'm unsure.
Oh, good.
And I thought, gosh, how nice is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This podcast is called You Are Beautiful. So if you could go back and say something to your younger self now, because I know this question's been asked before, but I just love the way it reflects on something, especially after everything we've gone through, mm-hmm. what would you say to your younger self now after these last couple of years?
Well, I think I'm going to answer it differently because I've answered that question a lot. In fact, I started my book, Happy Accidents, with that question. What would I say?
Really?
Yeah. So right. I was talking to Jennifer, my partner, last night. We were talking about this. What I would like to do is go back in time, but bring me who I am now, what I know, the stillness that I have and the lack of angst. And I would love to put that person into the body of that 12-year-old. And sometimes I do. I like sit back because I have a long drive into Los Angeles. Now it's an hour 20 or something. Nice long drive. And I'll have like a fantasy for an hour. How would I have dealt with that in high school if I knew what I knew and was who I am now? So I would love to do that kind of time travel.
Two more names I want to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm. The genuine article on all levels, definitely.
Meryl Streep.
Another genuine article who is not at all interested in what pop culture has to say. You interviewed her. She never does interviews unless she's promoting a movie. You know, she hasn't bought into that. She's an artist. You know, I got to watch her work, which was really wonderful and very simple and very courageous. And I know that she's lived her life just raising her children with an artist husband. And she's just really an outlier in terms of Hollywood stars.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you my Meryl Streep story quickly. Mm-hmm. I was on Live with Regis and Kelly, which then went on to Live. I've been on that show for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Meryl Streep was on that day before Julia and Julia. Mm-hmm. And I said to my producer, I said, do you mind if I say hello to Meryl? And she said, Lawrence, we don't do that. We just don't introduce our talent to the big stars. And then she grabbed my hand as Meryl was leaving the set. We stood there. Meryl walks by and my producer says, excuse me, Meryl, this is our fashion guy, Lawrence Zarian. She looks at me and says, hello. And I said, I just want you to know, can I just give you a hug? And she said, absolutely.
Oh my God, I'm surprised. I'm cringing over here.
Lovely. Well, you're going to love this. Lovely, kind, sweet. She couldn't have been more gracious. Then a year later, I'm doing the junket for Julia and Julia and we're getting mic'd up. And she said, hold on, before we start. I said, yeah. She goes, do you mind if I give you a hug? Because now I'm a little nervous.
Oh my gosh.
And
you're blowing my mind here.
I have to tell you, Jane, it was so sweet and so genuine. And you know, you said the word authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you show up in that authentic space,
yes,
people receive that because they can see that you're not full of bullshit and that it's real.
Yeah.
So she couldn't have been lovelier or nicer. But I have to say, that is who you are. You remember things. You remember people. You give people this gift of you. And you do make the world a better place. I will say that.
Thank you, Lawrence.
You just
back
do.
Back at you.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn about yourself the most after these last couple years?
Wow. I actually had a little bit of depression and I'm not,
really?
I've never had depression before. So it kind of shocked me that I would wake up the next day and I still had it. It actually preceded the lockdown. It actually started around Trump, but I don't think that that was the cause so much. I wasn't happy with Trump being elected, but it was my turn to be depressed, I guess. And I went through a period of it thinking that when I wake up tomorrow, it'll be gone. And I kind of held on to that for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I kind of went, it looks like it's here and it could be here forever. So what if we just deal with it and we get up every morning and walk no matter what? So I did that. And I feel a little better now and a lot better, actually. And I don't know if it's because I walked every morning. I don't know if there's any cause or effect. I just go, well, you know what? It looks like it was my time to be depressed. So now I have an empathy for depression that I didn't have before. I didn't understand it. And maybe even kind of went, you know, you want to be happy, you can be happy. And I have less of that.
Well, I'll tell you this. I went through the exact same thing. As we've talked about it, I'm an extrovert. And first 2 weeks after lockdown, I literally went to the market, bought everything and said hello to friends that I haven't said hello to in a long time. Ice cream, pizza. Like I literally started eating everything for 2 weeks. And then the depression hit hard. Like I was in trouble and I'm slowly coming out of it. But I love the fact that you're being open. And I do think one of the things that I do like about social media is when you hear someone else talking about something else, mm-hmm. it reminds you that you're not alone. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. An isolating environment that we live in, the human condition, it really can be. And community is so important to us. And I think that's one of the things that I learned kind of sociologically or anthropologically is that we are communal creatures. And when that is taken from us, thank God we had this technology, you know, where we could connect with each other. Now that we're coming back online, you know, the restaurants are full in my town. You know, you can't get in.
There's, here too.
You know, and we've kept the outdoor dining. So as you go up the main drag here, there's people, you know, on the sidewalks enjoying meals together. And, you know, it's really good. It's really good to be back in the thick of community.
No matter what side of the aisle you were on, I found it's such an amazing, my dad was a very strong, proud Republican. And I've said this before, my dad would say, I stand by my party, but I mean, for my poor dad, identical twin sons that are very strong Democrats, mm-hmm. my dad would always say, but sweetheart, give me another reason to listen and to learn. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe life is all one way or another way. Mm-hmm. And I found it, mm-hmm. still find it so frustrating that so many people want their voice to be heard with no other space for anybody else.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. That to me is what's so painful and frustrating and just disappointing.
Yeah, there's a tribal aspect going on. And then, you know, everybody doubles down and triples down, which is just crazy. No, you know, we don't apologize anymore. We don't go, oh, I jumped the gun there, so to speak. Yeah, I think that is missing. And when somebody does it, it's like this big deal. Human interaction these days, it's really tribal. And like you said, your dad said, I stand by my party. And that means that you got to buy everything that party says. And I, you know, have been a Democrat, but I don't buy everything that the progressives say. I'm not a progressive.
Me too. No, me too.
Nope. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to say I agree with it because I'm a Democrat. And I don't even know if I'm a Democrat anymore. I'm certainly not a Republican. I think it's probably better not to slap a label for me on me anymore. I line up with smart, reasoned people who support democracy.
Yes.
And I'll listen to people debate about that. I won't listen to the partisan stuff.
My dad was a great debater. He's been passed now for 10 years. And people always say to me, you know, he was the mayor of Glendale. He was a very celebrated politician. You know, when he passed, they flew the flag over the state capitol at half mast.
That's
he was an amazing man. People always say to me, you know, Lawrence, would your dad have aligned with the former president or with the party? And I'm like, you know, he said that years ago that he would stand by the party, but my dad listened. You know, my dad, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this
because in those days.
Yeah. People always say that people can't change. And my dad was so strong and committed to who he was, but he changed. Like my dad had a problem with me being gay.
Is your brother gay? Is your twin brother
Gregory.
Gay?
Yeah,
He married John, right?
He married John, yeah. And because of showing up and being authentic and being who you are, one of the last things my father ever said to me was, he said two things. As long as you have Scotty, I'll know you'll be okay. That's my lawyer, number one. Mm. Okay, thanks, Bob. Business covered. Check that box. And he said, sweetheart, I want you to find an amazing man. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, come on. People do change mm-hmm. because it's not about what happens in a bedroom. It's what happens in your life and who you are and how you show up for the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That to me is what's so important. But when I do a political podcast, I'm bringing you on. You're my first guest.
Oh, no, I will not talk politics. Yeah. I'll be boring. I'll talk about what's beautiful any day of the week.
Okay. So I have then three more questions quickly.
Okay.
Has your group of friends changed in the last couple of years?
Yes. Winnowed down for sure.
In what sense?
Less, you know, quality, more quality. Sounds terrible, but there are more quality friendships than others. And I'll tell you what, today I just bought an app that helps you filter your emails. I emptied both email accounts going back to 2007. I don't have them anymore. I just got rid of them.
Wow.
It's in the process of deleting as we speak. Because anything that I need, you know, I have an agent, I have a lawyer. Anything I need, they have it. This app helps you identify all your subscriptions. I unsubscribed from every email that was coming to me, like from the New York Times, from Zappos or wherever. And they're gone. They're all gone. I have empty email boxes. So yeah, I'm zenning out for sure. Winnowing down. I've become vegan. I didn't tell you about that.
Wait, what?
I'm vegan for the last 5 months and I love it.
What physically have you noticed about your body?
All of my numbers are down. I'm lighter. My cholesterol went from 260 to 198. I know I was very high. I was like a carnivore. And everything's looking good. You know, all my numbers are great. I don't know that I've lost any weight, but I feel better. My clothes fit better, which is a big deal for me. You know, vanity, thy name is Jane.
What about your mental clarity?
Oh, I bet it's good. I think it was pretty good to begin with, or maybe it was so subtle that I didn't notice, but I have heard people say that. And also the world of food has opened up for me as opposed to closed down, because I used to be kind of carnivore Atkins keto, which means I had to eat meat and fat. And I don't like vegetables, but that meant I couldn't have sushi because that has rice.
Right.
I now have vegetable rolls, which I love. I get these noodles at sushi restaurants. I eat a lot of Mexican. I'm eating some Italian and I'm making sure I'm not having too much oil, too much sodium. And it just, everything's so much better. I sleep better.
Can you cook?
Well, I'm starting to. That's the thing, is that I'm starting to. My sleep is better. I quit coffee. I do have a little caffeine in the morning. I know I used to be a big coffee drinker.
No, but hold on. Throughout the entire podcast, I've been drinking my coffee. Yeah. Was that tough?
Yeah. It was tough pondering the idea of doing it. It's kind of like when you quit drinking, it, for me anyway, it stopped. But it was the idea that I had to quit that was the suffering. That was the struggle. And then once I finally did, and for me, it was basically an act of God. I didn't have to do anything. It was gone. Same thing with the caffeine. It went away. Now I drink these Perrier Energize with a yerba mate, and it's got green coffee in it. But it's not that terrible coffee that was making me basically have terrible diarrhea at one point. Yeah, I had totally screwed up my system with it.
But you're saying everything that my doctor has said to me. I want you to cut out meat. I want you to go vegan. I want you to stop coffee. Did my doctor call you?
Yeah.
My doctor called
you and
said,
not.
Jane, please.
Well, actually, he did. We've been emailing, but I've deleted them all, so I can't show you.
Oh my God. This is what I would call a God shot. This is when somebody shows up and reminds you where you're meant to be.
You might be there. And don't force yourself, though, because it just hit me one day. I woke up vegan.
I love that you just reminded me that that is just something that I need to be aware of and pay attention to. You know, I haven't lost anything. I've chosen to step away from certain friendships that I found toxic and certain friendships that I found that I just found familiarity in. And Tupac Shakur, I can't quote it perfectly, but he said something to the effect of this. He basically said, just because we're not friends anymore, that doesn't mean I'm an enemy. Mm-hmm. I still want you to eat. I want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. I just don't want you to eat at my table.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very fascinating thing, because if you choose to have this space to regroup, reset, restart, and renew your life, and you want people that are going to do what they say what they mean. Mm-hmm. I think I know this answer, but I'm going to ask it. Who is your ride or die?
My partner, Jennifer, and my sister, Julie, my niece, Megan. I think all my nieces and nephews would. I don't want to leave them out. But Jennifer, Julie, and Megan, and Ellen for sure. And vice versa.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And I love that it becomes clearer as we get older and we evolve a little more. Answer this question for me. Mm-hmm. And before I ask you this question, because we're going to wrap it up, I just want to say this. You and I have known each other for a long time. And like I've said, when I see you, I feel like we always pick up where we left off. We don't have a lot of history together, but you make me always feel, as I've said so many times, seen and heard.
Good. And you for me. So there.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And when I reached out to you about the podcast, you didn't even really know much about it. And you just said, yes, that doesn't go unnoticed. And for someone that needs, wants to incorporate amazing people that do things that are amazing into this podcast, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for seeing me and hearing me. Aww. And you've just touched my heart, always have. And I think also just your kindness of spirit. So please know that that doesn't go unnoticed.
Thank you, Lawrence.
In life, I've learned that we can have so many feelings at once. Like, I consider you a friend, but you're also Jane Lynch, who always celebrates me for me. So thank you.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. And thank you for inviting me. Just wonderful.
I want you to answer this question.
Sure.
Because the podcast is called You Were Beautiful with Lawrence Arian. Please answer the question by filling in the blank. I, Jane Lynch, am beautiful because?
I, Jane Lynch, am beautiful because I think everybody else is beautiful too.
I love that.
How's that? And
I love that.
I feel it.